You're listening to Money Making Mothers with Carla Edwards, where we discuss the highs and lows of being a working parent, how to master the art of spinning plates, and remind ourselves that just because you became a mother does not mean your dreams no longer exist. You can have it all.
Hi everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I'm joined by Lottie. Now, Lottie has been through a parent's worst nightmare, and from that she never gave up, she kept fighting and came out stronger, and has not only managed to bring up two boys along the way, but has also created a charity that is focused around helping people that have been through the trauma that she has. Working with neonatal babies 24/7, she inspires daily, and I hope you all take from it as much as I did.
Yeah, I'm Lottie. I am 32 from Yarm, and I run Leo's, which is a charity that supports families of sick and preterm babies across the Northeast.
So what does Leo's do generally? Like, give like some overview of what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Our main mission is to give parents and carers and grandparents the tools they need to support themselves after their child or their grandchild has been born really sick or really premature and has needed neonatal care. For those who don't understand what neonatal care is, it is a specialised unit within a hospital which looks after babies who can be born as early as 21 weeks and 6 days gestation or can be born at term. And these babies can need anything from life-saving treatment, life-saving surgery, to simple things, just a bit of help with managing their temperature or their feeding. I had twin boys back in 2015, Oscar and Leo, and Leo was my little boy who sadly passed away after 4 hours, which is why the charity is called Leo's. It's in his memory. And the journey that took me on with Oscar, his twin, was very long and very traumatic. We spent a lot of time in hospital, and as a result of that, my mental health suffered really badly. So now what we do with Leo's is we have targeted mental health support based on my experience, the experience of my board members who have also been on neonatal units, and the experience of our parents. So on a day-to-day basis, we offer things like counselling, we offer peer support, we offer specialist treatment for PTSD, which is called EMDR. We offer a secure video and picture messaging service, which allows parents to get regular updates about how their baby's doing when they can't be on the unit, which since COVID has been a lifesaver, because some units are only allowing parents to have 2 hours a day with their children. So we offer things like that. We have wellbeing boxes that we send out to parents to kind of help with their anxieties.
Is everything, obviously I've done a lot of work with you as well, because I think it's amazing, the charity. I love everything about it and what you do. But is the reason you do what you do based on your experience as a mother at that time?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I don't think I could understand this world if I hadn't lived it, and if I still didn't live it. Oscar is nearly six now, and he's still got quite complex respiratory needs. He still needs oxygen overnight, and he's got behavioural needs as well as a result of being born at 25 weeks. So, yeah, everything, all of this has kind of come from my personal experience of being a mum, a twin mum, where one of my twins sadly passed away and my other twin survived, but really had quite a big fight on his hands to stay alive.
Yeah, because you already had a son already, didn't you? So you were already a mother as well. And working at the time of all this as well?
Yeah, so when I was, obviously when I was pregnant, I was working in PR, and my eldest son, Dax, who was three at the time, was obviously kind of in full-time childcare, and I was working, you know, 5 days a week, sort of 8 till 5. And then obviously I went off early because I had the boys way before I was kind of supposed to. I think I went off at 21 weeks because my waters had gone. So I was kind of very early into my pregnancy when things started to go wrong. And then I just had to obviously take my maternity leave then. And then I eventually had to quit my job and become a full-time carer to Oscar for a while, because he became incredibly sick when he was 11 months old, and he suffered a really nasty cardiac arrest. And basically, I was kind of told by the consultant, you know, he's not safe to go into childcare. You know, you need to make a decision about what you're going to do for him. So I quit my job and I didn't work for a long time. And then when the boys, when Dax was about 7 and Oscar was 3, I set Leo's up. Because as Oscar got older and as I got more into dealing with my grief, I just suddenly realised there was no support for me anymore. Mm. And the friends I'd made on the neonatal unit, they were the same, like we were the only people, we only had each other. And, you know, so I just wanted to set something up that meant parents didn't have to be on their own once their child hit a certain age.
And you am I right in saying you did this as a single parent as well, like throughout all of this? So I can't even imagine the stress, like, never mind the emotional, like, obviously trauma and everything that you went through. But on top of that, having to run a home, have an older child, have a sick child, be grieving. How did you manage to, like, stay upright?
It was just really difficult. I mean, I was with their dad until Oscar was about 3, but it was a very turbulent relationship and he worked away, so I was on my own for, you know, the majority of it. But my mum was brilliant, you know, she was fantastic, and I had a great support network of friends who kind of looked after me. And I went and got counselling and I had to take antidepressants, you know, just to kind of keep myself going. It was really difficult, you know. Oscar was very sick for a very, very long time and kind of spent the majority of the first 3 years of his life in hospital. You know, we were never in home longer than maybe 2 weeks before he was back in. So it really kind of really hit me quite hard, you know, kind of juggling that, you know, on my own.
Yeah, because like even just day-to-day normal life when you're working and you've got kids, structure's really important to try and keep that, you know, for everyone. So being back and forth at the hospital, you can't have had any structure, surely.
No, I don't think I ate like a proper day, you know, where you have breakfast, dinner and tea. Like I didn't have that for like a really long time. Sometimes it was like grabbing a Mars bar out the vending machine at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, or if we were, you know, often up in the Children's Hospital in Newcastle, it was grabbing a Subway at 11 o'clock at night before it shut, you know, so you could get something to eat that day. It was a really difficult time of my life, yeah. But I like to think that it shaped what we do at Leo's.
So now that obviously Leo's is up and running, how long has it been up and running for now in total?
We are 2 years old in 10 days.
Oh, lovely. So coming up to 2 years, how do you find juggling the work side of life and motherhood?
I think I'm quite fortunate in that because obviously I'm kind of running this, and because everyone in my team understands what has gone on with my grief or with Oscar, or that Oscar can suddenly get sick and I need to take a day off, it's just nice to be in a team of people who understand, and you're not penalized for needing to take a day off. Like, you know, if, you know, even if, you know, we had appointments in with parents and I just sort of, you know, rang them and said, I'm really sorry, Oscar's poorly. Everyone just fully understands because they're living it as well. So there's never any kind of issues around illness or being sick, or, you know, if I'm really struggling with my grief and I just need a day to just sit and wallow, you know, everyone's just like, just take the day off, it's fine. You know, you need that time to sort of heal. And that kind of makes it very, I'm in a very fortunate position that I can work around my family and their needs. So, yeah.
And are the boys aware of what you do?
Yeah, they love it. You know, Dax always sort of tells people, he's like, my mummy like runs a charity and she helps people with poorly children. And he's, you know, obviously he went through it and he really struggled and he had to go into therapy for a long time because his anxiety was really bad, because he saw things really that, you know, I couldn't protect him from. Because often if I had to ring an ambulance at 2 a.m. and there was just us in the house, or, you know, there were things going on in the hospital that, you know, would happen as a result of that ambulance call, you know, I couldn't always protect him from kind of what was going on. So he suffered quite badly with anxiety. But he's great now at helping, you know, what the siblings get, you know, if we're doing a special sibling project, he's brilliant at kind of coming in and being like, well, I would have really liked that, or that would have really helped me. And because he's so sensitive, like, he's kind of like really great at having that input. And Oscar loves it, you know, he's always like, oh, you're doing that for Leo, like, he's my brother. And, you know, so he's great with it. You know, they're both, you know, they're both kind of brought up to know that we are, you know, we've gone through a really kind of rough time, but we can come out the other side, and actually you can use that time to do some good with it and turn it round. So yeah.
And are they, how do I put this, so are they, when you're busy and you've got something on and it needs to be done, do they understand, you know, the difference between working mum and mum?
Yeah, they're great. Like, if I say, oh, you know, I've got to write this application for Leo's, or I've got to have this call with a parent, like, you know, they're really upset today. The boys are like, that's fine, mummy, we'll go and play upstairs. And then, like, they come down when I'm finished, and then we kind of all play together again. And, you know, they're brilliant at kind of understanding. I think because they've always seen me do Leo's, and because they meet the families as well, and, you know, like, they're friends with a lot of the children now, and all the siblings, you know, they're part, like, it's a big family. So to them, it's not kind of anything other than, oh, that's just what mummy does, you know, like, she goes and does those things. And Dax is always like, if we have like a booklet made or a leaflet made, he always likes it, and he takes a Leo's pen to school with him, you know, to do his writing with. So, you know, he always says, oh, I'm really proud of you, mum, like, you do such a good job. So yeah, they're brilliant.
You can manage the juggling the side of obviously making sure that you're doing what you want to do in terms of your career and where you see Leo's going, because I'm presuming that it was hard to set up and get to where you are now. It kind of been easy to get, you know, you're helping people all over the Northeast.
Yeah, no, it was really hard, and it was a lot of work. And, you know, I have a great team, so I'm very fortunate in that sense. But in terms of, you know, juggling it, I think I'm managing all right, and I can still kind of have that time for me when the boys are kind of at school or they're in bed. You know, I can kind of sit down and just kind of get my head down and kind of where I want to be with everything. But sometimes if that time needs to eat into their time, you know, I just kind of, you still get that mum guilt. Like, I still feel kind of like rubbish if I'm like, oh God, I've been on calls all day and I haven't seen them, you know, especially during the lockdown. But then it's just, you know, as we all do, we just try and make up for it in different ways. So I'll be like, oh, let's go for a walk, and let's go, you know, and see the ducks, or, you know, let's go and find some trees to climb, or let's play on Fortnite together.
You know? Oh, you actually play on Fortnite?
Oh yeah, like and Roblox have taught me all sorts. Like, I know, I play Pokemon cards and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, play football with Oscar. And
I got on with FIFA the other day with Jackson, and it didn't end well. It was something like 11-0 to him. He was like, you're rubbish, you, mum. I was like, oh, right, okay.
I don't think I could do FIFA. Like, I struggle with Fortnite, to be honest. You know, I'm like, can we just not go on like a Lego game? Like, they're much easier.
So with obviously it coming up to 2 years, with Leo's charity, what has been the most difficult time of the journey so far?
Probably COVID.
Really?
We kind of went from being a charity that kind of, I think we just, it evolved us very quickly into a very serious organisation. We kind of went from being this charity who we kind of gave out nice welcome boxes, and we had these community groups that everyone could come to, and it was very, probably more fluffy than what we do now. And we always had a counsellor and we kind of always had peer support, but it was very, you know, the people that were coming to us weren't always in crisis. Whereas the pandemic really brought out the kind of the crisis side of a lot of our families. We had multiple families who, with parents with suicidal ideation and suicide attempts that we were having to deal with, and support them with their GPs or like the access teams. We kind of saw the fact that parents were only allowed 2 hours visiting with their children, and you know, these parents were ringing us, telling us things like, you know, how does my baby even know who I am? Like, I don't feel like a mum. And, you know, the risk of postnatal depression to those women and those men, you know, we just kind of saw a lot of red flags. And yeah, COVID was really hard. Like, you know, like I said, we kind of gone from just seeing people at community groups and chatting and watching the kids play to like actually being really involved in people's kind of mental health and actually getting them on the road to recovery.
Did it, I'm presuming it really prioritised things, like in terms of, you know, we have to see the people, now it's showing us exactly who needs help right now, rather than, like you say, the nice side of things of community and having cups of tea and giving like some time, as in socialising. It was actually about, you know, intense things such as suicide.
I mean, we always knew that anyway, just because of like from our own experiences. Like, I had really severe PTSD, and actually, like, I think pretty much everyone I work with and know has elements of PTSD and trauma as a result of being on a NICU. But I think, like you say, it prioritized, and but it put us in a very fortunate position with grant funders, and because we were able to argue much more strongly the case, because these parents were finding us in crisis and we weren't at the time, you know, equipped enough to, you know, we were kind of at capacity constantly, but you can't turn anyone away in that need when you're the only organisation who can offer that support, you know, in the area. So, you know, thankfully we got quite a large chunk of money, and people listened, and now we can offer a really robust, very targeted service that really helps support the whole family unit. But yeah, COVID was probably the hardest time, because yeah, we were shielded. So I was in the house with the kids. you know, the only person I used to see was the Tesco delivery man, when he used to just drop my food at the bottom of the door and then run to the end of the path and be like, "I've dropped your food off." You know, or occasionally, you know, like my mum would come and she would stand at like kind of a safe distance so I could see her, because I used to find obviously it really hard not seeing anyone. And then, you know, you've got all these parents in dire need and these children who aren't getting the provision, and, you know, suddenly you're in charge of kind of almost kind of rescuing all these people, you know. And it was hard, but really rewarding. And, you know, it was a challenge that, you know, I appreciated having. It made me a better person, and it made our organisation a better organisation for it.
Wasn't there a lot of pressure in terms of, like, obviously, Jesus, people bringing you, saying things like that? That's in terms of your mental health and on how it was making you feel with the pandemic and everything that, obviously, with Oscar as well, with, you know, his risks health-wise. How did you cope with all that?
I have it, like I keep saying, I have a great team. So, and my mum was fantastic. So I could ring, you know, kind of anyone when I was struggling. And I have some great friends who were shielding too. So we were kind of all in the same boat, and we'd ring each other and kind of rant and stuff. And, but I redecorated my entire house, because painting I find really therapeutic, and I can just get lost and I switch off to everything. So basically, like, every room in the house got wallpapered or painted, the floors got ripped up, the doors got painted, the skirting boards got done, front door's now painted pink. Like, it's like a really, yeah, it's a lovely farrow and ball colour. It's like a dusty pink. The boys talked to me, like, "Why have we got a pink door, Mum?" And I was like, "Because it's my house." And I want a pink door. But yeah, just painting and doing like projects that I could just lose myself in. I think, like, one day I decided it was a sensible thing to take all my cupboard doors off and paint them all. in the garden. It took me 9 hours, and the kids were just running around the garden all day because it was really hot, and I was just like, had Alexa playing Spotify, and I was just painting these cupboards, and I was just proper chilled.
Yeah. Getting your way through it. No, but I just can't imagine having to have on top of, because it was so stressful, then having to worry about all these other people as well, which you're going to feel responsible for, because that's, you're doing it because you love it, and you're doing it because you want to help people. Like, the passion side of it has to be there, but also the emotional toll must take it sometimes.
It does. And I am much better at, when I'm kind of starting to feel a bit like, oh God, this is getting heavy, I just take some time off. Like, I can just go and have a couple of hours and just think, I'm just going to watch, you know, mindless TV and just have a bit of a break. Because sometimes you just need that, and you're no good to anyone if you just burn out, and you're no good to anyone if you keep going through. Like, these families, you know, they need us, so we have to be, you know, on our, you know, on our best game. So if that means I just need to take an afternoon off and park everything that's not urgent.
How would you do that? No, I struggle with that, you know, with just going, right, like, sometimes, very rarely, I'll be like, I want to just sit and do nothing. And I feel guilty about it for at least a week. So then I just think, what's the point? It's too hard to do it if I feel too bad.
Well, I used to be like that. And then when I went and had EMDR for my PTSD, like, and I was speaking to my therapist about what I do, and she was like, so when do you get downtime? And I was like, oh, I don't. And she was like, she kind of warned me and was like, you need to take time for yourself. Otherwise, you're going to end up in a really bad state. So I just kind of, she was a brilliant therapist. She was like a tough Scouser lady. She was fantastic. But like, I was like, oh, she means business. I'm going to do as I'm told. And then I just kind of thought, well, you know, she helped save me, you know, from my PTSD and kind of how bad that was and all my trauma. You know, I don't want to undo all the amazing work that she did with me, and, you know, and how hard I worked on myself to kind of get through it. I don't want to undo that. So I am very good now at going, yeah, no, like, if I need the afternoon off to just eat a donut and like watch the telly, like, I'm just going to do it, because if that means I can come back tomorrow and be really great at my job, then that's what's more important.
Yeah, it is, and I wish, I need to take some of that on board as well, because it's, and I think a lot of mothers feel that way, where they've got so much to do all the time that it's hard to give themselves some time, even if it is to do nothing. You know, sometimes you do things like, oh, well, I did this, but have you ever just sat and done nothing and just done something just for you? It's quite hard to fit that in.
It is. It's really hard, but I think she, like, because she kind of told me off. Like, she was, and I was just like, I was a bit scared of her, so I was like, I'm gonna do what she says. And then, like, even now though, I'll sit there and I'll think in my head, I'll be like, no, just get up and do something. Like, you know, there's the dishes need doing, or there's hoovering, or the washing needs hanging out, or the ironing needs doing. I have to kind of argue with myself, like, no,
yeah,
like, the world's not gonna end because you didn't wash the pots. Like, it's fine. Like, you can just do them in 3 hours, like, or just do them in the morning
every day. I do believe something bad is going to happen. No, it's not. Just sit down.
Just sit down. It's fine. The world is not going to end because you didn't hoover up. You know, your floor might look a bit minging, but it's fine. Just get over it. You just have to look at it and just think, no, I'm fine. Or just move the rug. Yeah. Just move the rug. It's fine.
Right. So my last question is, and it's my favourite one, this one. If your children could learn anything from you, what would it be?
Just to be kind. Because I think, like, with Oscar, you know, he is classed as a disabled child because he needs oxygen, and, you know, and I think because we've grown up, the boys have grown up around that, I never want them to treat anyone with a disability any differently, because, you know, those children, those people, they're no different, you know. And I just kind of don't ever want them to look at someone who's got oxygen on or a tracheostomy or an NG and kind of be like, oh, what's that, you know, and like, and just embrace it, because that's, you know, why would you not, you know, we've all embraced Oscar, and and kind of his needs. And I just kind of want them to always be, just embrace everyone kind of no matter what, and just love and be kind and be considerate to other people's feelings all the time.
Do you ever, have you ever experienced people not being kind?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Or like people would kind of, especially when Oscar was younger, you know, when he was a baby in an oxygen, people would kind of always be like, oh, he's really small. But then once he got older and he was kind of sitting up and he was walking and he was on oxygen, people would kind of look at you like, oh, what's wrong with your child? Like, you know, and you would see parents in kind of play areas or like, you know, look at you weird, or, you know, look at your child weird. And, you know, I was always kind of like, well, he's not, there's nothing wrong with him. You know, his lungs are knackered. So what? Like, you know, don't look at him differently or treat him differently because of that. Like, you know, and I think we're always so inclusive at Leo's, like it doesn't matter, you know, like what diagnosis anyone has, whether it's your mental health or anything that's kind of going on with your child, like, you know, we love you just kind of the same. And that's just what I want for my kids, just to kind of always have that, you know, just ignore the stigma that can come with, you know, taking antidepressants or saying you've got PTSD, or, you know, someone, like I said, having an NG, or, you know, a genetic condition. You know, you don't need to treat them differently. You know, there's no need to.
And do you think, for example, has Oscar ever asked you or noticed people being different?
Oh, I think, because I've always normalized it, you know, and we've always been around, you know, other families with children with oxygen or like with additional needs. So for him, it's just normal to him. Like if he sees like an old lady or an old man with oxygen on, he's like, oh, I have them. Like they're this, I have them too, you know. And that's kind of, you know, just the way that he is. And yeah, he's fine with it.
So do you think because there's certain things I was trying to teach the kids and I'm like, actively think about it because it's so important. Do you try and show them being kind and being considerate and reiterate that to them? Because I think as they get older, especially with having two different ages, the way you say it to Dax will be different to the way you say it to Oscar. Do you know, because they'll understand it in different ways as the older they get.
Yeah, I think kind of like, especially with like what we do with like Leo's, like Dax is always very intrigued. So like if we're packing a well-being box or we've ordered some things in and we're making them, or if the heartbeat bears have been delivered, like he'll kind of be like, oh, what are they for? And Oscar will be the same. And then I'll kind of explain to them like the benefit of that. And they're like, oh, we wish we had that. Like, that's so kind that you can do that. And, you know, they always are very much a part of what we do every day at Leo's, and kind of they see everything. So they see constantly the kindness and the giving back and like the importance of supporting other people. And Dax, I mean, I'll give him his due. He's probably the nicest person like ever. Like for my birthday this year, like he went upstairs, he like nicked my notebook. He'd gone upstairs with his pen and he'd wrote me a letter as if it was from Leo. And then he'd snuck downstairs and he'd put it in the garden. He said, Mummy, look, there's a letter in the garden for you. I think it's off Leo. And he'd wrote me this lovely letter off Leo. I'm going to cry. But he does so stuff cool. Like that. Like he's just, you know, they're both so, you know.
Oh, you must be so lovely. Because yeah, like, it's hard enough bringing kids up without all of that as well, and trying to get yourself through it and get them through it. Like, honestly, I know I've told you a million times, but I think you're absolutely amazing. You're so, so incredible. I don't know how the hell you do it. I'm on when things aren't going my way, just in terms of like time wise, but how you've managed to get through all that and still be like smiling and helping everyone else is just insane. You're amazing.
I still moan about the time though. Like, I moan about everything all the time. I'm like, oh God, like the traffic's horrendous. I'm going to be late.
Yeah, but you just like you just crack on and do it, and like just what you do for everyone else. It's, you know what you said there about being kind. You do that every single day, so your boys are definitely going to grow up and know that being kind is a very important thing, because that's what the mum does.
I hope so. You know, you always worry as they get older, don't you? And they don't. It's not cool to be seen with your mum anymore.
Oh, like,
yeah. When it's like, you don't need to walk me to school anymore. I don't need to hold your hand. Like, don't tell me you love me at the school gates. Like,
oh, Jackson, when I took him back on their Wednesday last week, I went to give him a kiss. I always give him a kiss. And obviously now we're not allowed to go in school. And I went to give him a kiss and he gave me the crappiest kiss ever. You know, I just wasn't even like a, it was a, shot me his cheek and ran. And I said, oh, you just want me to kiss him anymore? Like, he's too cool now.
It's really sad, isn't it? Like, it's really sad. Like, at one point in the 6 weeks, Dax was like really into his gaming. And I was like, on a night, like, you know, Oscar would go to bed and we'd kind of always have a bit of chill time together, because I'm normally caught up with Oscar more than Dax, just because Oscar's younger and kind of needs more in like attention and kind of things with his behaviour. And I'd be like, oh, what do you want to do tonight? And he'd be like, oh, I just want to go on Fortnite. And I'm like, okay, well, do you not want to do anything with mum? No. And I was like, I would ring my mum and be like, what am I supposed to do? Doesn't want to be my friend anymore. Like, do you want to play like Monopoly or like Scrabble?
No.
Scrabble's well cool. And we've got like, and Monopoly's Pokemon Monopoly. So it's not even like, no, it's like, you know, it's cool Monopoly. You know, I was like, oh, we can play some games, you know. And he was just like, no. I was like, look, I'll go on Sonic Team Racing with you. Said, no.
So you just got involved in Fortnite.
Got involved in Fortnite instead. I was like, right, I'm going to have to like surrender to Fortnite and give in. And he had to teach me how to play. So
advice his mum's make, man.
I have to think of my friends who've got girls, and I'm like, they just play like tea parties.
Oh,
and, like,
lot of yeah. I took Alba on Saturday for the dancing for the first time, and I never realised how amazing it would be to not have to stand on a muddy field. It was so nice.
In a warm studio.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. I was doing the tippy toes and everything with her, and I didn't even care, because I was like, this is so much better than being stood outside freezing. So if any, obviously I'd love you to platform Leo's, so if anyone wants to find out about yours or where to go, how would they find you, how would they go about it?
So we're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. You just need to search at Leo's Neonatal, and the website is leosneonatal.org, and then you can just, yeah, those are the places to find us.
Brilliant. Right, well, thank you so much for being a guest, as I always say.
Having me.
Very inspiring lady. I love you. I think you're amazing. So, yeah, I appreciate your time, love, and how busy you are. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. And, yeah, you're amazing too. You're pretty fab, so.
Thank you.
All right.
You have been listening to the Money Making Mothers podcast with Carla Edwards. If you have enjoyed the show, then leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Make sure to tune in next time, and don't forget, you can have it all.